When I think of Easter, when I think of the resurrection, there's different words that come to mind. Hope has been a theme already this morning. Hope is a big theme. Life is a word that comes to mind. Joy comes to mind. The resurrection of Christ changes everything, and really everything that Christ did in his life, his death, and his resurrection changes everything for those who put their faith in Christ and who believe and who have been transformed and live by him. We have so much to celebrate and so much to be thankful for. And because it's Easter, we especially focus on the resurrection of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote about the importance of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. And here's what he says. He mentions several eyewitnesses who actually saw him. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Okay. Many people saw Jesus after he raised from the dead, and seeing him, encountering the risen Christ, had a powerful impact on their lives, especially for some of them after what they had just witnessed in the days leading up to that, in his death and burial, and then witnessing the resurrected Christ changed them, and it brought life and joy and hope. This morning, I want us to go back to those days and think about what it would have been like to be one of those eyewitnesses. How did the resurrection change their lives? We're going to hear some eyewitness accounts from different biblical characters whose lives were changed by encountering the risen Christ. And these stories are fictional in the sense that we used biblical facts. We used facts from the culture, but also some imagination. So these are fictional, but based on what actually happened in those days and what we know about the changes in people's lives. They'll help us to connect with how important the resurrection was back then, but also how important the resurrection is for us today. And so we're going to have some different members of the church who are going to come up and share these different eyewitness accounts.
They followed all the way up the hill. They wanted to see him die. We soldiers just did our jobs. Some tended the crowd and others took to the crosses. There were three set to die that day, two criminals and then Jesus. I was the centurion on duty and watched while they nailed him down. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At that point in the process, most people curse us in hatred, but not him. He took the nails and asked for our forgiveness. That's the first thing that got to me. We raised him up with the other two and began the long wait. It can take days sometimes. It is a terrible way to die. The crowd was relentless. The Jewish leaders with the robes came all the way up and taunted him. "Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. He saves others, but he can't save himself." They really hated him. Even the thief hanging on one side cursed him in pain. But Jesus never opened his mouth. He never cursed, never shouted. In fact, he spoke kindly to the one on his left, reassuring words to give him peace. It was amazing. At some point, about midday, the strangest thing happened. The sky turned really dark, like before a bad storm. Only there wasn't a storm. It stayed like that a few hours. Later on, I could tell that Jesus was really struggling, gasping for breath. He cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And within seconds, he was gone. His body no more than went limp, when the ground beneath us started to shake. It shook with such force that rocks around started to break open. At that point, we'd had enough. It was time to get out of there because everyone was getting scared with the sky and the earth quaking. I had the men break the legs of the other two, but Jesus was already dead. One of my guys stuck Jesus with a spear just to make sure. Jesus got into my head that day. He was so different than anyone else. And while all the crazy stuff going on, I started thinking really hard about him. It didn't take long before I just knew deep down inside that truly he must be the Son of God. But the Son of God was dead, and I didn't know what to do with that. I thought about it all night. Early the next morning, I was called to my post. Me and some of my men were assigned to the grave where they had laid the body. Seemed strange with a huge stone already there and sealed, but the Jews were afraid. They didn't want his guys, his followers, to steal him and say that he rose from the dead. So we sat through the day, taking shifts while others slept. I was on duty, then off, then back on again for the night. I'm telling you, no one showed up, but something did happen I'll never forget. Near the end of my shift, as the darkness was starting to lift, the ground shook again, like that day on Golgotha. A bright light flashed in my eyes and I was stunned. I didn't know what happened. While I was out, but when I came to again, I looked and saw that the stone had been rolled away. The grave was wide open. I went over and looked, and his body was gone. That's when my mind and heart became set. Nothing could explain what happened other than what really did happen. Jesus had risen from the dead. The soldiers got paid to say his body was stolen, but I knew that wasn't true. They must have seen that in me because the next day I was reassigned to Caesarea. I think they wanted me out of there, so I couldn't speak against it. I turned to the God of the Jews on that day, but it wasn't until the visit from Peter that I got the whole story. Jesus really did rise from the dead. Peter had seen him. He died on the cross because of our sins, but rose back to life again to continue his work. Through trusting in him, our sins are forgiven, and that's what I did. That's who I am now. Now, I am a soldier for Jesus, and I've committed my life to him and to his kingdom. He saved me, and now I want to spread the good news and lead people to him. It's my new mission.
Life was over for me before I met Jesus. I was alive, but I wasn't living anymore. Poverty and prostitution in Magdala had dehumanized me to the point where I had nothing to live for. I was lost, and in my desperation was tormented by evil spirits that attacked and condemned me. Night after night, my life was a living hell. But then Jesus came. I don't remember how I got near him, but I did, and he saw me. He saw right through my hardened exterior and knew the misery in my soul. And he rescued me, right then and there. With a word, he commanded the spirits, and they left me. It was an amazing experience. It was like I could see for the first time, like chains had been broken. My darkness turned to light, and I had hope and a new reason to live, to know him and learn from him and spread his kingdom. So I began to follow him. I walked with him and his disciples, and I listened to what he had to say. I watched what he did among the people, how he healed with compassion and taught with authority. He was the most amazing man I ever met. Far different than the other rabbis and teachers of the law. What he said had substance and meaning and revealed the true heart of God. He softened my hard heart so I could love again. Then came the night that was terrifying. Jesus was arrested in the garden and put before an angry Sanhedrin that was intent on only one thing, putting him to death. And it worked. They said he was guilty of blasphemy and convinced the Romans to kill him by nailing him to a cross. It was a nightmare. I never felt so sick to my stomach as I did that day. How could that happen to him? He was so kind and good, so honest and truthful, so full of compassion and life. But they killed him. They violently scourged him and nailed him to a cross, and he died. I never felt so crushed in all my life, so much hope that had shattered so quickly. and we wondered if everything had been a dream. Could it be that he wasn't really the Messiah? But everything changed just a couple days later. On the day after Sabbath, I went with some friends. We went to the tomb where they laid him. Our plan was to treat his body with spices, only when we got there, his body was gone. At first, we were filled with dismay, wondering why anyone would steal his body. But then an amazing thing happened. An angel appeared, an extraordinary being full of light, and told us the good news. He had risen. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" it said. The others ran ahead to tell the disciples, but I was frozen in place, trembling and crying. What could this mean? I thought he was the gardener at first. We talked for a little while, but I didn't recognize his voice. But then I heard the sweetest thing I've ever heard. "Mary," he said. He called me by name, and I knew it was him. I fell to my knees. It was such an amazing experience, one that changed me forever. After I saw him, everything started to fall into place. Things he said that we didn't understand finally made sense. He had to die to pay for our sins. That's why he came into the world. But once that was complete, it was finished, and he came back to life. He called us to continue his mission. He would ascend into heaven, but would be with us in spirit, giving us everything we'd need. That's my purpose in life now, so much more than before. To live for him and his kingdom. This is true joy, and I'll never go back.
There's so much I want to tell you this morning, but I really don't know where to begin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a man zealous for the Jewish faith, an up-and-coming Pharisee with a spotless record. But I hated the Christians. I thought they were enemies of God and enemies of faith. Oh, how I wish I knew the truth a little sooner. I was the one standing by when they put Peter, Stephen, to death. I was in charge of the education strategy in Jerusalem. I planned much of it myself. My goal was to snuff out all the Christians and put an end to the spread. I didn't know then what I was doing or how futile it was. Gamaliel was right when he told us, "Keep away from these men and let them alone." He said, "For if this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them." And then he added, "You might even be found opposing God." If only I'd have listened. I was responsible for putting so many of these Christians in prison, and the rest either fled or went into hiding. I thought the problem was solved, at least in Jerusalem. So I reached out beyond Jerusalem. That's when I encountered the risen Christ. I was on the road to Damascus when he interrupted my trip. He knocked me right to the ground. The rest of my company couldn't see him or hear him, but I sure did. I can still hear him now. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It cut me to the heart. Jesus was supposed to be dead. I saw him dead on the cross. I heard the rumors that he had risen again, but those couldn't be true, could they? But there he was on the road, talking directly to me. It was undeniable. I could hear him loud and clear, but I couldn't see him because of that bright light from heaven, and I was blind, like scales on my eyes. Yes, the risen Christ appeared to me, and it ruined me forever. It ruined me for who I was, that is. From then on, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing the risen Christ as my Lord and Savior. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain him. He showed me great mercy I didn't deserve. Think of it. The chief of sinners. I was the one who persecuted his church. I should have been judged for what I did. But instead, he chose me. He saved me. And he appointed me to be a witness to all the nations. What a privilege. Fruitful ministry in the most unreached places, because he lives. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'll never, ever go back again. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. The resurrection of Christ changed people's lives. Okay. Encountering the risen Christ had a profound impact on each person that saw him and encountered him. You've seen some eyewitness accounts. It firmly planted them in the faith. Okay. You think about the impact it had. Firmly planted them in the faith. They saw that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus was who he said he was, and they believed what he taught them, and their faith was immovable. Even through many trials and struggles and much suffering that his followers went through, their faith was immovable. Encountering Christ not only planted them in the faith, but it also produced a powerful hope in them. Not the way we sometimes think of hope, a wishful thinking about something that might happen or we hope will come to pass, but a joyful assurance and a confidence in knowing of what will come to pass. Life was difficult for those early followers of Christ, but they knew that there would be a wonderful reward when Christ returned, and that hope sustained them throughout their lives on earth and everything that they endured. And finally, encountering the risen Christ produced a love in them for God and for other people. Not just a fond affection that we can associate with love, but a willingness to serve others and to make sacrifices that would honor the Lord and point others to him. Christ poured out his love on them by his Spirit, and his love filled them and overflowed to others. And so you see the impact that the risen Christ had in the area of faith and hope and love, three aspects of Christianity that are spoken of multiple times throughout the New Testament. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, he said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Christ changes our lives. The resurrected Christ changes everything. There are many of us here today who have also encountered the risen Christ. Not in the same way as they did back then, but a spiritual encounter that's been undeniable and just as powerful as it was back then. That encounter with Christ has changed us, and we all could stand, those of us who have encountered Christ could stand and give testimony. Because he lives, we also have experienced faith, hope, and love in our lives. And I remember when it happened to me. I was 14 years old. I was in a church service. It was in January. I was an eighth grader. I'd gone to church my whole life, but it wasn't until that day that my life changed forever. I had been living for myself, and there was something that God used in what was said by the pastor that morning that God got into my heart, like the soldier. Jesus got to me that day, and everything changed. I mean, it's not like I was, you know, completely transformed overnight, but as I look back at my life, I can see the trajectory of my life changed that day. No longer just living for myself, but living for Christ and wanting to honor Him. Encountering the living Christ changed me that day. There's a song by Bill Gaither that goes like this: because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. Maybe you're here this morning, and some of you feel that same thing: life, joy, hope. But maybe you're here this morning and you feel an emptiness inside. You don't have that faith and that hope and that love that I've described and that you've seen in these testimonies. Life has just weighed you down. All the brokenness, the failures, the dysfunction, all the mistakes that you've made and the wrong that you've done have weighed you down. You don't have faith, hope, and love, but I want you to know that you can. You can because Christ is alive. What we're celebrating today isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago that we remember. It's also a reality today. And many of us that are here this morning have experienced the risen Christ and are experiencing the risen Christ each day of our lives. Jesus came to this world, and as you heard through the testimonies, He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, but on the third day, He rose from the dead, came out of the grave, and He lives today. He rose from the dead to give new life to all who would call on Him. And so will you call on Him today? Will you put your trust in Jesus today? He invites anyone to trust in Him for forgiveness of your sins and receive eternal life. He will bring healing. He will bring wholeness. He will give you a new life and purpose. You'll become part of His family and join in spreading His kingdom throughout this earth. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, there isn't a magic formula or hoops to jump through. Sometimes churches or people can make it more difficult than it really is. It's really just a response in your heart of faith in who Jesus is, calling on Him, surrendering to Him, letting Him come into your life to fill you with hope. We want to know when that happens as church leaders so that we can rejoice with you and help you to get connected to a church family, whether that's here at East Lincoln or if you're visiting today from another church maybe or haven't gone to a church somewhere else. But we want to talk with you about that. If you want to begin following Christ, talk to me or one of the other people that you've seen up here this morning and let us know. Let's pray. Jesus, we rejoice in You. The reason that we're here today, the reason that we have any hope in this life, the reason that we're not just covered with a cloud of hopelessness and uncertainty about the future is all because of You. In Your life, You earned perfect righteousness. In Your death, You paid the penalty. And in Your resurrected life, You live to give us life. And we have tasted and experienced that life through faith in You. I pray that Your Spirit would move in us and cause us to worship You more deeply. I pray that Your Spirit would move in us to give us faith in You. If there's anyone that's here this morning that's been wondering what life is about and confused and lost, I pray that You would draw them to You, Jesus, and give them hope and life. Thank You. Bless our Easter celebrations today. Bless us this week as we turn to You for the hope and life that You give. In Jesus' name, amen.